Open mic number three for me was, man, it I would call it a bomb, right? People call it a bomb. And it was just like a humbling experience. And it made me think, like, you're not going to be funny all the time. Even though you're trying to be and you're working at it, it just won't land for some reason. And I think it's like God's way of like humbling you, right? Because it's easy to, I can see how it could be easy to get comfortable in winning on stage. Because there'll be times like, well, you feel like you did a good job. And there'll be times when you don't feel like you did a good job. But yeah, so open mic number three for me, I'll count it as a bomb. I find it funny because I'm talking like a comedian now. And I've only had like three open mics, but they say bomb. So I'm starting to figure out the lingo a little bit here. So I feel like that's what happened for me for number three. It was at the same place as number two. Number two was a lot better, I say, because I got more laughs and stuff like that. Number three, I got a few laughs, but and then listening back to it, because I recorded both of them or all three of them so far, listening back to it, the delivery was different in that, my wording was different. I felt like I just jumped into the jokes and didn't prepare the audience for what was coming. Like I didn't warm them up to what I was going to be talking about. I just kind of jumped in expecting them to understand what was happening in my brain. So I think that was a huge difference in what I did. And it's funny because I'm listening back like, okay, what can I change? What happened here? And I'm listening to different, comics and stuff like that. And they're saying to, like one guy that actually watches this podcast, appreciate you. His name is Eric Knowles. He's also a comedian. He was mentioning that the editing happens before and after. And I find myself doing that. Like naturally. Maybe after he said, I can't remember, but I found myself doing that. Oh, okay. Maybe they didn't laugh because of this. I could change this or I can change that. So that was number three. Number three was a complete bomb. Like it scared me, not scared me, but it made me like, holy smokes. Like, do I really want to do this? You know what I mean? It made me have that like doubt in myself. Like, dang, am I funny? You know what I mean? And then I'm listening to number two. I'm like, I am funny because people laughed. You know what I mean? People laughed at those same jokes. But number three was just like my friend Lito Cortez was saying in the podcast interview that I had with him on Corpus Christi Originals. That when he bombed like his first couple of times, like he had this feeling like he just wants to crawl under a rock and just like not let anybody see him. It was interesting the way he described it. You should go check it out. But that's how it felt. Like, it literally, I was like, dude, now I understand what these comics mean by like bombing and stuff. And I think I kind of went, I was like nervous to go. And I was giving myself all these like excuses not to go, right? And that was heavy on me. I had a long day. I mean, I don't, could have been a number of factors, but now I know like that's what to expect when to bomb. And it's just part of the process. It's part of the process. It's like learning an instrument for the first time. You're not going to be like super awesome the first couple plucks that you play on a guitar. In fact, people are going to want to cover their ears like, ow, like, you know what I mean? We don't want to hear that. But eventually you develop your tone, you develop your plucking style, you get a little bit more advice, and you get better, and people want to hear. So it's like, that's what it is. That's the thing. Like, stand up is, you practice on your own, but then you also practice in front of a crowd. And it's cool, and that makes sense, because the crowd will let you know what's funny. Like, they're going to help you with your tone. They're going to help you with your pitch. They're going to help you with how to pluck. And that's because at the end of the day, yes, it's about what you would, you, it's about you. It's about me wanting to make people laugh, right? At the end of the day, but it's still about people. It's like a service, like you're serving them, like you want them to laugh, and you're figuring out how to serve them by coming up with these jokes, how to figure out how to tell a joke, what your style is, what style they might like, and you know, and at the same time, you're still doing you, you know, but the audience is letting you know, we like this part about how you tell jokes, whatever, and it comes through laughs, through laughing, through their response, and it's very important to like, even for open mic number 3, I find myself like so like nervous and just kind of, I don't know, like kind of under weird about it. I want to say like underconfident. I don't know what to call it, but I found myself like not wanting to look at the audience. I was just like looking to the side, and I wasn't really looking at them in the eye, like seeing their responses, seeing their reaction, seeing the type of people that might have been there. So like, that was another thing that I need to know, I need to work on as far as stand up comedy goes. So yeah, that's open mic number 3. Open mic number 4. So moving on to open mic number 4. Number 4 for me was it was just like another rep. That's how I looked at it. I looked at it as another rep. I went in like knowing this could bomb, and it's fine. Like, you have, the thing with number 3, open mic number 3, is that I was confident in the failure. Like, be confident in knowing that this is part of the process. So I was like, okay, I can bomb. Like, I was like, okay, I know how to, I know what it feels like. Now I need to know how to get past it, figure out what happened, you know, this and that. So I went into number 4, like, kind of a little bit of that toughness, like, okay, this could bomb. Be confident in knowing that it could happen. And so I went in number 4. Just took some ideas that I had been working on. It was all new material. Trying to remember if any of it was old. Yeah, it was all new stuff. I was talking about my name. The other thing I was talking about was like roadkill, basically, because I'm a truck driver. And some of them hit, but what I changed this time, I was actually looking at the crowd. I was looking at the people in the crowd, looking at their response. People were genuinely interested. I understand now what people are saying, that I have the people's attention, because I'm looking at them and they're looking at me like, you know, listening, you know what I mean? They're actively listening to what I'm having to say. And I thought that was interesting. Another thing I noticed too was that, there was a lot of like white people, Caucasian people, right? And then there was a couple Hispanics. And when I was talking about my name and this stuff like that, they were looking at me like, yeah, I can relate. Like, I can relate to that. And I was like playing off of that, like, oh, okay, cool. They get it, right? And then they actually moved from the sitting at the bar to sit closer. And then I was thinking to myself, I was like, dang, that's, I was thinking about the importance of representation. Representation, well, I want to call it representation, but I don't want to get into the weeds of like race and this and that, you know what I mean? But like, and I saw this too when I was a, when I was substitute teaching, that whenever I would go to substitute teach at like the schools that I went to, where it's predominantly Mexican American in South Texas, I could tell the kids like light up, like, oh shoot. For one, I got their attention because I'm a big dude, right? You know, as a substitute teacher. And two, they're like, wait, this guy talks like me. He has an accent like me. I can relate. You know, I can understand that he understands me a little bit because of how he looks and how he talks. So that was like huge. I was like, oh shoot. There's a potential for an audience that, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, and I'm looking at it now. I'm like, oh shoot. Well, there's other Hispanic Mexican comics that they have their audience. So that was huge when I recognized that in those two audience members that were out there. So that was interesting. There was actually a young kid, probably in his 20s, and he was a white dude, and he seemed like kind of country, kind of preppy type of white dude, but he was engaged. I was like, oh shoot. And that was when I was talking about like my name being Jesus, and you know, how it is in my culture, like a lot of people in the oil field, like a lot of white dudes, like sometimes they don't want to take the time to understand like Spanish, like your name, you know, if it, so they just call me like Jose, like a lot of the times. And I'm like, dude, that's totally different name. It's not Jose. They just chalk it up to that. And I can, and when I was talking about that, I can tell that that guy was like, oh yeah, yeah, I can relate to that too. You know what I mean? Cause it, I mean, it happens. People, it's, that's just how it is down here. So it's not just the representation of the people that are Hispanic like me, but also the people, like I said, like white person, you know what I mean? So that could be like the connection there between different races and different things like that. So it's like laughter doesn't know race. Like every race on the earth, on the planet, has the ability to laugh. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, and I don't approach it from a race standpoint. I'm approaching it from a personal perspective standpoint. Like, this is what I've experienced, you know. And I feel like when I talk about my personal experience, that's when it relates. Like, oh, I've known a cousin like this guy that's on stage, or I've worked alongside a guy that's like this guy on stage, you know, whatever. It seems like comedy brings people together. You know, it brings us together in a sense that there's a social aspect in that whole unity of laughing, right? You can have a crowd, you know, if you can make an entire crowd that's full of different races and genders and all this other, you know, diversity, then that's good for society, right? Because we're doing this thing together. You know what I mean? It's so cool. Just having these revelations about stand-up comedy and stuff. What else? Another thing too, I was talking to after the set on open mic number 4, I was talking with another local comedian who's been doing it for years, and then another one who's been doing it for like 3 years. And I was asking them about, you know, one of them had a show. I was like, yeah, how'd your show go? It's like, oh, it's good. We're trying to take that same, you know, same 4 guys and do it at different venues. So I thought that was interesting. It's like you have like kind of like a band, you know what I mean? They're touring to different little locations and just seeing how it works. But he mentioned something interesting. He said it's not so much the venue and the place. He's like, it's more like the audience, you know, because like the people in Corpus, in my town, they want to see big acts, you know what I mean? Big names that they know, like Nathan Bargatze. He's coming through town. He's going to be at the Hillard Center. Steve Cervino was here. I'm just trying to think of these big, you know, these big comic names that are out there. Like the people in Corpus will actually pay to go see them. And it's like, they won't so much pay to see the local guy, maybe because they don't know them. And then the younger comic, the one that's doing for 3 years, he was saying that you almost have to be like an influencer. That's how I took it. Like, the people, the crowd has to know who you are, like online, to want to be able to come and see you, like who you are. And he even mentioned to me, like, he pointed to me, he's like it's like you, like with your podcast, a lot of people know you. And as like, I was trying to snap to that. I was like, what does he mean? But I guess I can see it because I have so many followers with my podcast and people know me. So if I throw it out there, hey, I got a show coming up, then the people that listen to my podcast, Corpus Christi Originals, can be like, oh, I know that guy. Let me go and check out what he has, see if he can make me laugh or whatever the thought process is. And I'm like, oh, okay, wow. So it's kind of like, I feel like I'm going backwards. Like, I did the influencer podcast thing first, and now I'm jumping into like comedy. And it seems like it's the other way around with some people. Like, they would do comedy first and then they jumped into podcasting. And in my mind, it's playing along the line of what that younger comic told me, like being an influencer. So like, comedians come up being funny around crowds. Now they're working on being like an influencer and having that social crowd to be able to bring in that audience to pay, you know, to pay money to watch them, make them laugh, you know. So I thought that was interesting. Yeah. So that was open mic number 4, y'all. It was another lap, you know what I mean? Another lap around the track of working out, you know, another set of doing reps. And that's what I feel like I'm doing when going to these open mics. But that number 3, oh my God, dude, I can't stress how like grueling it was on my mind, because I was like, it made me feel like, I don't know. I think it made my body feel like, ugh, you know, because the next day I was just like trying, like I didn't want to talk to nobody. It was just like the way my friend Lito described it. Like, you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to hear from nobody. You just want to like be depressed for the entire day, which makes sense, you know. And even last night for open mic number 4, I saw another local comedian he makes me laugh like all the time. And he freaking bombed. I was like, dude, even this guy can bomb? Like, because nobody was laughing at his jokes. I was like, and even me, I was just like, I wasn't laughing. I mean, I chuckled a few times, but it's interesting. Another thing too, going on 18 minutes, I'm trying to make this short, but obviously it's not going short. Excuse me, I took a sip of water real quick. So that got me to thinking. A lot of the comics, I don't know if they do this on purpose, but it seems like they do. Like, if they're trying to like get a laugh out of the crowd and they're working on their, you know, they're going through their joke, their bit, it seems like they'll throw in a cuss word. Like they'll throw in that extra cuss word to try to get that little laugh, and it worked. Like, it works. I've seen it work. I saw it work. Like, oh wow, you know, they're doing this. They're adding this word in there to get that little chuckle, so they can continue that bit until the bit is finished. And I'm like, oh, and then of course, me as, you know, somebody who wants to live by from a biblical perspective, I choose not to cuss. So I have to figure out. Now I know that I have to figure out how to be funny. Or throw in those little pieces of bait between the beginning of the joke and the end of the joke. Those pieces of bait, I can't cuss. So I need to figure out how to throw those words or phrases or whatever that make them laugh, like the way somebody would if they were throwing in like a cuss word right there. But I have to be intelligent in a way to where I don't use a cuss word. And I'm wondering how other clean comics do it. I mean, I can see how they could try to like avoid. Like, I can use a cuss word that's like, for the F word, I can say freaking, right? or SHIT, I can say stuff, you know what I mean? But that seems like generic. Like, I want to work on it to where I don't use those generic terms. I want to use like a phrase or an intelligence. It seems like something that's intelligent that your mind is not ready for, but it's smart. Like, I think that would, boom, it would get that little boost of energy that you're looking for from them until you get to like the punchline or the end of the joke or wherever is the main part of wherever the main part of the laughter is supposed to come. But anyway, y'all, it's been awesome. Open mic number 4. Looking forward to number 5. So last night was 4. Tonight will be number 5, God willing. Thank you, Lord. And it's going to be at a different location I had never been to before. But yeah. Trying to think what else to say. When I went into open mic number 4, it's like every time before I go, I get nervous because there's other comics there. I know who I'm going to see. And I get this old feeling, like these old doubts in my mind, like, you're not good enough. You know, why are you doing this? You know, these people don't like you. They don't accept you, this and that. All this like stuff in my mind. And another comedian that I reached out to recently, who's, you know, a Bible believer also, he mentioned to me, he's like, that is what the enemy does. Like, he's basically saying that's what the enemy does. He's doing that to your mind to sway you from doing what you want to do. And that made a lot of sense. But it seems like that, and that comes too, even with podcasting. Like, before I do a podcast episode with Corpus Christi Originals, I'll get these like doubts in my mind before I go and, you know, live on air. But like, once I get there, once I actually go into the atmosphere, go into the place, then it just kind of like fades away. And then a whole new set of things come to my brain when I get into the atmosphere, who's there listening, you know, tipping the waitress, you know, listening to other comics, talking to other comics, you know what I mean? And then all that negativity before I go in, it just fades. Like, it's gone. And it doesn't come back until the next time I have to go, the next performance, the next time I'm doing something relevant in my life that I want to do, those thoughts will come back. So it's like I'm building that muscle of just ignoring those thoughts and remembering, you know, remember what I'm doing, why I'm there, you know, yada yada. But open mic number 4, number 3 and 4 out of the way, in the books. Super stoked for this journey. And yeah, appreciate you guys. Stay tuned for the next ones. I'm Jesus Hilario. See you later.